I'm Kyle Harmer.
And I'm Sarah Harmer.
And you are listening to our Tub Talk,
a conversational podcast brought to you from the comfort of our hot tub. Yellow.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I think that yeah, that I'll hear. Good enough.
You can hear okay?
I'm gonna scooch closer.
We have scooch a special a edition of Tub Talk.
Yeah, tub.
Nope.
What did we
slow
call
down?
It? Okay.
We're calling this Deck Talk.
There we go, Deck Talk.
Deck.
Because we're not in a tub talk.
Nope.
It's true.
We're in a tub. We're in a on.
You said we're in a tub.
We're on a deck.
You guys are definitely in two glasses deep. So
listen, that has no bearing. You do not need to bring that up. That has nothing to do with this.
Okay. My only response is slancha.
Slancha.
That's what I was gonna say when we. I couldn't remember, but I didn't want to butcher it. All right. Yeah. Yeah. We. Me and Sarah and Gideon.
Yay.
Are here for our second episode together.
Yeah,
this is actually our third episode together.
Did we do two?
We did two episodes.
Yep,
that was 2 years ago. I don't remember.
That was a year
ago.
Was that at the house or the townhouse? Was that the townhouse?
That was at the townhouse. It was a year ago.
Listen,
bless your
my
heart.
Brain is really bad.
I was trying to blame the alcohol.
No, or, it's my brain.
Or the jet lag, because, you know, an hour and a half flight really...
Yeah. We're in the same damn time zone. We did
Do
not
Do you understand
travel.
How jet lag works?
There's no lag.
I feel like you don't. Okay, but we're going to do a regular episode, even though we're here to celebrate Gideon's father's life.
Yay!
It's just not what I expected the response to be, but
I mean,
it is.
You did say celebrate.
That's true.
And it is something to celebrate. So.
But, and I have some questions that will kind of touch on that, but this actually is going to be a little bit of a R&D episode for me anyway, because as anyone listening knows, who is Gideon but isn't Gideon, because he's here. So
that's right.
We will run out of questions in our box of questions at some point.
Yes.
So I've already asked ChatGPT and AI to give me a bunch of other questions for us. And
do you feel good about this?
I do.
Okay.
I feel proud, and I'm actually stupid proud of like the ones it's given me so far.
Okay.
But I also asked it earlier today to help me populate some questions for tonight.
Hmm.
And I have ones that are meaningless, and I have ones that
so
are meaningful.
Light questions. Okay.
I have light ones, and I have deep ones, and I will...
So should I ask, like, Skynet, what did you want us to talk about tonight?
I can't let you do that, Dave. It's not Skynet, but it's another...
It's still in the 80s.
Yeah, it's still another... I can't... I mean, Space Odyssey 2001, regardless of when it was made.
Okay.
But anyway, we will have some... we'll try and cover some random questions.
Okay.
Meaningful or not.
I'm game.
All right, cool, good. I'm going to start then with one of the silly questions.
As we do.
Because he's feeling silly.
And I think we're going to kind of freewheel this a little bit more than maybe last time or other ones.
Then talked a lot about death.
Yeah.
Did we?
We want... so I'll just pose it to everyone to kind of throw out answers. The question is, if we were all characters in a bizarre fantasy novel, what would our roles be and what quest would we be embarking on together?
My quest is to find medicine.
The elixir of life.
The elixir of life.
In the fantasy. Okay, well, what character are you?
I'm haggard and tired. I'm rickety.
That's an interesting
I'm the
description.
Lady in, like, the,
she's,
the
she's
shawl
a, she's a
that's
wench.
Like... Oh my god, I'm not
have a
wench.
You have a fantasy.
A no!
What is that? A crone. She's a crone.
First of all, let me come up with my own character
How
before the two
better?
Of you fantasy nerds try to take over my answer here. I am the lady who probably has a basket of eggs trying to sell to people so that she can make money, so that she can have medicine, so that she
but
can
it's
live.
A trick.
It's called a crone, ladies and gentlemen. Or Amanda.
that's probably who I mean. I would love to think that I'd be like a Khaleesi, but there's no freaking way. There's just no way.
Khaleesi is a troubled character in that.
I don't care. She's a boss.
She's a boss.
All right, so our quest, I'm going to just go with that. Our quest is to find medicine for your character.
Collectively doing this quest?
Yeah, this is a collective quest.
Oh, no,
quest.
That's just what my quest is. No. You jabrones don't need to go get me medicine. No,
well, that's a side quest.
Okay.
Side quest.
Okay.
The main quest is gold. It's always gold.
Always gold.
Yeah, it's gold.
Or rum.
Or enlightenment.
Yeah, that is another one that I could have gone with. I'm going to go with
gold.
Probably
below gold and rum.
I'm going to go with gold, but I'm because my side quest is to assist in the medicine, I'm a warrior to help you.
Okay.
My crone. Crony. Crone. What was it?
Crone.
Crone, yeah, I got it right. I didn't question it. You didn't hear me question it. I'm a crone. I mean, I'm a warrior. Dang it.
You're a haggard old woman.
A cronish warrior?
Yep.
Cronish warrior. Oh, we are quite the pair.
A crone with a crossbow.
What are you, my halfling friend? I mean, what did I call it? No, I'm sorry.
apparently, I'm a hobbit because, you know, I'm going to live in Tolkien land. So, yes, I will definitely be a hobbit. I like my comforts and I like my food at a very specific time.
Yeah.
I do like the occasional, because I am the tookish side of me does take me on the random adventure to find medicine or gold or enlightenment, but I would like to return to my comfort in my hobbit hole.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I forgot about these aspects of them. Hobbits, that is.
Yep.
Not you.
I have naked feet, though, so I have my own, like, it's my, like, new sect of hobbits, the naked feet.
Oh, that's, there. So, we're on a quest for gold or enlightenment or medicine. We have a crone, a hobbit, and a warrior of no particular race.
I like it.
I can dig it. Right. I'm not going to read it, but I can dig it.
So,
I would watch it, though.
Who would like to go next? Would it be Sarah or Gideon?
Gideon.
Okay, neither of them want to. So
I'll go next. It's right. Fine.
So, I did a silly one.
Okay.
So, I'm going to say, you can choose from... here, I'll... Rather than... I'm not going to hand the phone over yet. I'm going to say, you choose from these three categories. And these immediately dive into serious...
Course.
Mortality.
Oh my god. Mm.
Family or meaning of life.
Jeez.
These are all the same. You just listed all the same thing.
No, the questions are very different.
Okay. Oh, I'm supposed to pick a topic?
That's a category.
Oh, okay. Read them again. I wasn't listening.
Mortality.
Okay.
Family or meaning of life.
Meaning of life.
Okay. So here are the three questions you can choose from.
That I get to answer or that I get to
read? You get to read.
How do you define a fulfilling life, and what do you hope to achieve or experience to feel fulfilled?
That one was the one I liked, actually. So the question was, how do you define a fulfilling life, what do you hope to achieve or experience to feel it? Which I think is an appropriate one, considering the gathering occasion.
Yeah.
And the week we've had.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly. I think for myself, like, the idea of family and legacy. Like, legacy lived out through family. Is a high goal. That's a little bit conflicting because, like, that's like saying we need to procreate for the sake of people to remember us. But without being surrounded by those around you that you've been able to touch in some way, there isn't really anything to remember or anyone.
Do you want to pause it real quick and see what we sound like with this? With the
I can see the background level of what it said, like what we sound like versus what it is, and I'll be able to tune it out fine.
Okay.
The air conditioner, that is, people. Oh, you just did a snap.
Yeah.
We didn't do a snap to start that, though, so I'm not going to know where... I'm not going to cut it. This is all going to be in it. It's all part of it.
Okay, fine.
It was interesting. Actually, I would almost take the opposite where I actually... I'm not trying to make a name for myself to be remembered by. Ooh. I actually, there's I'm gonna butcher the quote, but basically, you know, living in quiet obscurity. And
I change everything I said. I love that.
I think that, you know, I think there are a lot of people that their whole goal in life is to, you know, live to a point where they are remembered and they go down in history as somebody who is remembered. And I get that in the point of your loved ones. You want to be remembered by your loved ones. Mm-hmm. But I would say that ultimately, again, even looking at the passing of my own father, I will remember him. But I mean, you think in a couple of generations, that's a name in a family tree. And I think what the most that I can do is, I guess, live in a way that I can bless people in my own little area of influence. Yeah, I can't control things that are happening in another country, but I can control how I treat people in my neighborhood. I can get to know people in a very specific way on my street. But ultimately, there is going to come a day where I am going to be forgotten. And I don't think that's necessarily something that I'm scared of or feel bad about. I think once my life is done, I am actually okay with going and moving on into obscurity.
I have a small, because I think our two ideas are actually far more conjoined than either of us realized when we started talking. Because I agree, like, I mean, you know, Sarah, that, like, I don't choose to be the center of attention. I have no problem being it, but I don't like to plan for that to be the case. Mm-hmm. Like, my birthday, for example, like, do I have any problem, like, joining a party and, like, somehow becoming the life of the crowd? No. I actually relish in it. But that's because it wasn't part of the plan. So, like, when I say what I said, it's not that I think it's fulfilling to make it be your purpose to be remembered. But I think similar, though, the idea of, like, living in a quiet obscurity, but making an impact around the people, on the people around you, actually does leave a massive legacy. I mean, I think of, like, Ron. Mm-hmm. Like, Ron Holbooth is not someone that ever could have been accused of being vain or, like, pursuing
selfishness.
Him
very as unassuming.
He was very unassuming, but he left because his goal in life was just to love people. Mm-hmm. He left a mark that was remembered. And yes,
and is still remembered.
And it's still, and it is one that fades, though. Like, my kids know the name, but don't know anything beyond that.
Yeah.
Because it will fade, because he wasn't seeking necessarily recognition. So it does end at a couple generations when, you know, seeking recognition is not the goal. But you can still live that way. And I think it is far, you are correct, it is far more more fulfilling to live in a way where you're not, your goal isn't to necessarily put yourself out there and be remembered. Your goal is to live in a way that benefits your circles of influence. Mm-hmm. But subsequently, that likely is going to mean you are remembered, at least for some time. It's not that was the goal, but it's the end result.
I would say it's a cause and effect. But I think there are people who their whole idea of legacy is to be remembered, not by just your circles of influence and family, but by, like, history books.
Greatness.
And yes, you know, Alexander the Great, or, you know, whoever you go down in history, they want their names to be in a history book, and I could care less about that.
Agreed. Yeah, I think there are a lot of people that hope their names come up in somebody else's mouth.
Yeah.
Like, they would love to be name dropped. Mm-hmm. And I just don't see that being in either of your characters.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the idea of legacy, I think both of you have the desire to leave a legacy, but because of what you inspire out of the people who are closest to you, not necessarily in people who don't know you that you still want to have some sort of a vague impact on.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a shallow... There's not a shallowness to that.
How do you think you would answer beyond commentary on ours? How would you define fulfilled life?
For me, it's all about the people in my life and giving them an opportunity to leave you better than when they came to you.
Mm. I like that. Yeah.
Like, my mom always made us make the beds in hotel rooms where we stayed.
Which I love, actually. I totally do the same thing. I love you, Mama Major.
She still does that to this day.
I do that to this day.
I don't make it perfect.
I don't make it, like...
Oh, no.
But I will make it look like, okay, I pulled the bedding up and, you know, put the pillows where they're supposed to be and things like that.
I always think ease of the next person coming into the room. Ball it all up in the middle of the bed.
Yeah.
Because they're just going to throw it in a bag anyways.
That's true.
That's how I always look at it. But anyways, yeah. but in that same idea that you leave a place better than when you found it,
mm-hmm.
people, you know, letting them leave you better than when they came to you. And not because you have any kind of influence on them, like you made them better, but you gave them the space to be able to grow. That's what I want.
Man, I like that perspective too, even in the thought of, like, you know, thinking about people in our lives, even people we've talked about tonight, it's, you know, it stands out, the people that have an impact for only a period of time, and then life happens and you move on and you're not part of each other's lives. And just, I think it's a healthy perspective to just want any interactions that you have to be something that's going to add towards growth or positivity, because as deep as a connection might feel, like, we've had connections with people that we thought it felt like it would be forever.
Yeah.
And it's not.
Yeah.
And it would be very easy for that to mean that, like, some of the last interactions you have are less than profitable for both of you. Because you don't know that it's going to be your last one, and that doesn't mean because of death. It might just mean because life happens and you're no longer part of each other's circles.
Yeah. An interesting thing I, you know, kind of was forced to look at this week was, you know, as we're gathering pictures for funeral and everything like that, you know, I started going through boxes of, you know, pictures that thankfully my mom saved for me. Otherwise, like, through all the different moves and everything like that, probably would have disappeared at some point. But the amount of pictures I have of people that I don't talk to anymore, and the amount of, like, that were so important in that moment, and yet, you know, 20 years later I have not spoken to. I was really surprised and somewhat ashamed on how few pictures I actually took of my dad and myself, or my parents and myself. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting to kind of think about that, where it's like I focused, you know, as a dumb teenager, where you don't, those people in your life at that point are the most important people in your life. And, you know, this is how it's always going to be. And then yet, you know, years later, when you're, you know, forced to actually look at potential loss and things like that, you start to think, like, man, I wish I would have taken more pictures with my dad or my mom, or why didn't I take more pictures of them with, like, my kids, their grandkids. And you know, it's sobering and almost embarrassing to think about that.
You're making me regret my interaction with my parents all around.
You still have both of yours, so, you know, that's good.
Okay, that just added to it right there. Jeez.
But you can still do something about it.
I know, that's true. Okay, I appreciate that. Okay, you get to choose, is your topic going to be mortality or family?
Jeez.
Those are your only choices. Dealer's choice.
Oh, I have to choose.
Yeah, dealer's choice.
Let's go family, because I feel like that could end up being slightly lighthearted. So, okay. Three questions to choose from. You don't necessarily have to read number one.
Okay. Like,
my lovely wife did, which is fine.
I read number three.
Nope, you read number one.
No, it's number three. Are you sure?
Yeah, positive.
I read the bottom one, because I just skipped over the first two.
Okay, I'm actually going to pick number two.
Ooh.
So, share a meaningful lesson or piece of wisdom you've learned from a family member that had a long-lasting impact on you. So, this is actually something that I have actually reflected on in the last couple days as I'm about to, you know, speak at my father's funeral. My dad was somebody who did not take himself super seriously. Mm-hmm. He was a goofy guy. Mm-hmm. His own sisters told me about his obsession with Jerry Lewis back in the day. Like, he literally had the same haircut. He would do the voices. I mean, Jerry Lewis was his idol. And I feel like, obviously, that faded over time, like, the sure. emulation. But the idea of, like, big comedy slapstick, like, goofiness never left. And I feel like not only did I see that in my own life with my father, but also his grandkids, my own grandkids, not that old. Whew. Yeah, that got real quick. But my kids got to see that goofiness, and I think that, you know, they loved that. And so I think that the idea is of you don't have to take yourself super seriously. That
yeah.
you don't have to make more of yourself than you actually really need to. I actually really appreciated that from his perspective, that it was more about making people laugh or happy or feel at ease than it was to be even respected. Mm-hmm. I think that was something that he was really good at. So yeah. that's something that I would like to emulate it.
That was 100% your dad.
Yeah.
Did you want to go or do you want me to go?
I'm still thinking.
Okay. Well, I know I have. So one that I definitely got that my dad would try and say to us, and it wasn't original to him at all, but he did say it. And I don't know that he did much outside of like spending time with me and Craig, maybe Chelsea, but I don't really have a lot of context for that one. But he definitely would try and emphasize to us, and before you laugh, this is a
too late
thing that I was told that I didn't necessarily understand how to do myself until maybe recently.
Say the word bomb.
No. Show. Milk.
Balm.
Milk. No, it was the idea of don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah.
You know, focus on the big picture and, you know, don't worry about the little things that may not be aligning quite the way that you anticipate. And, you know, knowing my dad, the way he usually would emphasize this would be more in, like, things that are very actual mechanical, like, you know, actual projects. But he would try and phrase it in ways that he meant it more as a life lesson, not just a, like, hey, don't sweat the small stuff that you lost that screw. But it was something that, like, he would go out of his way to try and make apparent to us that, like, was something that he wanted to live his life by. And especially because of the fact that I know that I've been prone to making, you know, not to, again, use, like, another euphemism, but a mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah.
Like, I've made things that could be small discussions in life more complicated than they needed to be. I appreciate that lesson more now as I've gotten older, and I realize that, like, it doesn't mean things are not important, but it means that it doesn't have to be life or death, and I don't have to ruin the moment for, like, my kids or my spouse. in the way that I handle small things mm-hmm. and how they affect me. And, you know, like I said, it's only been maybe the last couple years that it's kind of hit me what maybe that should have meant to me that it didn't for a long time.
I've definitely always respected your dad about, you know, obviously I'm not around your dad 24/7. I did not see him at his necessarily at his worst moments as we always, you know, everybody has.
But yeah.
I feel like your dad has always been just like a cool customer. You know, he just is very even keel and very like, I never forget the day that you went and got your like industrial piercing and you could hear from the curb your mom's response and your dad like turned your head, looked at him, was like, wow, that must have hurt, and then that was pretty much it.
That story is funny too, because the fact that you were in the car when we went to the shop, and it's still this day thinking the fact, like, I don't even remember the conversation between you and I was that you were just like, I'll just stay in the car, and you sat in the car while I went inside and got a piercing and then came out and it was like, oh, that's what it was.
I'm not really even sure why I stayed in the car.
I don't know. I don't know what, I think.
Were you scared of going in?
I don't know.
Was part of you a little afraid?
Maybe. I don't think he even knew what I was doing.
He just said the word industrial and well, I was like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Knowing me, I might have been bad at explaining what we were doing and I might have like glossed over it in a way that was like, we're just going to stop in and I'm going to say hi to someone.
Honestly, it might have been literally like, hey, I'm just going to pop in here real quick. I'll be right back. And I would have been like, and I was like, cool. And then you came out, this rod sticking out of your ear. And I was like, oh, all right. And then we get back to, his house. And I just stayed outside. And I just hear Sharon Harmer just her shrill voice going absolutely bonkers over this. And then, yeah. And then here's Tim Harmer, like,
just,
wow, that must have hurt.
That was, everything was logic. He was
an engineer. He still is.
And a Star Trek fan, so yes. he was Spock to a T. Sarah still needs to answer, but, like, you saying all that, like the last couple days, you know, has me thinking about the past, and, man, especially, like, the two summers after senior year, and then that next year when we mm-hmm. worked at United Plastics. Oof. Is the times I spent a good amount of time with your family and mm-hmm. your dad, especially in high school, building that half pipe, and then times over there. But man, those two summers, we lived at each other's houses. Either, you know, it was like almost every other night, and like I would pick you up when we worked together, and we would then come over to your place and hang out, and maybe John or Stacy would come over. But like, man, between my family and yours, like we spent the entirety of both of those summers at one or the other house.
Yep. And especially when the hot tub came into existence.
Well, yeah, then like, my parents' house did get a tendency to be a little more heavily
we,
in
we
the
just,
evening.
No, we just made sure that it was the last part of
yes,
the night.
Yeah.
It was the hot tub. And I was like, okay, we're all going to bed.
Man, I remember that. But that house over there on Pearson, the which is still there. It's a business.
Well, I mean, the structure is still there?
Yes.
Huh.
I might be entirely wrong, but I'm also pretty sure that I'm not. We will let you know in the next episode, Lindsay and Amanda.
The parking lot is still there, but the rest of it is gone.
I think I'm right.
Can you read the question again?
Yeah.
It was question number 2.
Share a meaningful lesson or piece of wisdom you've learned from a family member that has had a lasting impact on you.
So my life has definitely changed over the past couple of years, in lots of different ways, but I would still hang on to, it wasn't really a piece of wisdom that was passed down to me necessarily, because my grandparents weren't teachers per se, but watching how my grandma couldn't, like, no matter what the need was, she could meet it. And I like that. I don't want anybody to ever feel like they have to walk away still needing.
Mm. Mm. What would you say that her love language? 'Cause I know you are a big love language person, and I am too.
I am.
I love it. And there is a difference between how you people have love languages for receiving and showing, yeah. And those are not all, there's a very
that's not
rarely,
the way the book's even really
no
written.
But those are very rarely ever the same.
Oh yeah.
The Which book covers it. You just got so cynical about it.
No, it covers it in the sense of, like, you need to learn how to receive other people's that they want, but it doesn't cover the fact that as a person, you might, like, almost, you know, seemingly, like, contradictory, you might receive them in a different way than you want to show them.
Yeah.
Like, which I think would make the idea much more concrete. Mm-hmm. Anyways,
so what was her love language, you think? The way she showed love, and then I would love to know also how you think she received love as well.
I know she showed love through acts of service.
Yes, 100%.
She also showed through gifts, mm-hmm. but not necessarily high financial.
Yeah, personal gifts.
Yeah. Like a mockingjay over there.
your birds are weird.
Yeah, like some tropical. We're literally in North Carolina, but it feels like
we're in North Carolina at like 11:10 at night. What? It's an alarm with some weird sound. Yeah, no, I agree. She definitely was.
She probably was physical touch for receiving.
Really?
Yeah. Because she loved being close to people.
Yeah.
So proximity was... she and my grandpa didn't have a king-size bed. They had a small, full-size bed. And they were always holding hands. He would always kiss her forehead sort of thing. And I think he just knew that was how she needed to be loved. And my grandpa was not a words guy. So I think if words of affirmation were her love language, she would have been starving.
Yeah.
I'm sure he would have tried his best, but
yeah.
Again, man of very few words. She wasn't about anything frilly, so I don't think gifts would have been... She would have been gracious and grateful, but... and acts of service, she was so busy doing acts of service that you couldn't get ahead of her. Like, she already had the meal done, and you're like, I just got up to help you boil water. And she's like, it's already done, Annie. So I want to say for her, it probably, I don't know, my mom would probably have a different idea. But just from my perspective, I just remember my grandparents just being so physically close to each other.
Yeah.
That I want to say it probably was.
I don't think she'd disagree, really. I don't see how she could. I mean, that, like... proof is there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
I don't know how to wrap this one.
That was only two questions, right?
No. We did three. I started with a silly one.
Oh, okay.
I got the silly one out there. And then we got the other ones. And that's a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Short and sweet.
Gideon, we've said it before. I'm going to stop just saying it. We're going to make a plan and make this a regular. You heard it. I'm committing.
Like,
I'm committing. No,
it's
I want to.
It's kind of already become a regular.
No, no, but not yearly. I mean, regular.
Yeah, I was going to say. I want to make this like an
every other episode type thing. Oh. We're going to make it a scheduled thing, and we're going to make it. I just have to figure out the technical side. But then once I do that, we'll get it. And by saying that, I'm not going to make it be a month. 3 months down the road, like, I figured out computers. They talk to each other.
And they do more than solitaire.
What?
Minesweeper. No. Minesweeper.
Sudoku.
I was so bad at Minesweeper.
I was terrible at it. So
Wordle.
My mom liked it.
You heard it here, people. What?
Aging millennials. Geriatric millennials.
Yep, I love that. All right, good night, geriatric millennials.
Bye.
Bye.